So this is verse number 4. Then now Arjuna changes his meter. I'll talk about why the meter is changed. In the Gita, periodically this happens, where these are longer meter. Gurun hat guru nahat vahi mahanubhavan. Shreyo bhoktum bhaksham api haloke. Hatvartha kamans tu guru nihaiva. Bunjiya bhogan rudira pradikdhan. So anytime when the speaker wants to say something important in the Bhagavad Gita, we'll find Bhagavan Krishna also from time to time, he will change the meter to kind of emphasize, okay, pay attention to what I am saying. The second reason this was done, of course, this Krishna and Arjuna did not speak in poetry. You know, they spoke in prose. This later on was composed in poetry by Vedvyasji. And in the olden days, it was not writing. See, it was, everything was oral. It was told to the student and student passes it on. So while they are speaking, sometimes the student is dozing off, right? So then he suddenly changes, Guru Nahat. So he wakes up. What is this new meter? Because he's used to things. Like in this class also, when I find people are dozing off, I try to find some joke or some story to hopefully wake people up. So similarly, to wake up the student, the meter is changed, or to emphasize that it is something important that is being covered. So here he says, Gurun Hatva. Gurun, the gurus, Hatva. Hatva means having killed. Indeed, he means indeed. Mahanubhavan, these are not only my gurus and my family members, they are very, very distinguished members of society. They have done so much contribution to society. They have done so much good, so much help. They have been such noble souls. Killing them, it will be a great calamity. You know, I'm wiping out some of the best of the Hindu culture of this time. And why am I doing that? Better than that is Shreya. So Shreya is a word that is used many times in the Gita also. It was in the Kathopanishad. There's a whole section about Shreya and Preya. Preya is one, what is dear to me, what is I do for my pleasure. And Shreya is what is good. What is not only good for me, not only physically good, emotionally good and spiritually good. So what is physically good for me, what is emotionally will make me happy and pleased, and what will make me evolve spiritually. But Shreya is not only what is good for me, but what is good for society also, for all. So what is good for social, physical well-being, emotional well-being of society and spiritual well-being. So what will contribute to the spiritual improvement of the whole of society, that is called Shreya. As opposed to prayer, like she said, what is me and mine? If I'm just doing it for myself, that is selfish. But what I'm is good for society. So you say it is better for society, instead of killing such noble individuals, bhoktum bhaksham. He says it is better for me to become a beggar, to become a monk, go to the forest, and then, you know, once a day, that's what monks used to do, sadhus. They will go once a day to the village, and they will just beg for food, bhiksham dehi, and whatever they get, they will eat. If they don't get, they don't eat, and they will only eat one time, and whatever bhiksha they got. So that was how these sadhus were maintained, and it was the duty of householders. If a sadhu comes, it is your duty to feed him, at least give him some food, and then he might go to two or three or four homes. So he says, it is better for me to become a beggar like that, become a monk, and I'll just go to the forest, meditate. He says, but you are such full of so much anger, and you are so much, you know, vasana, so much passion, and you think you can sit and meditate? No, you will be so angry at Duryodhana because you have gone away from the battle. You will take a knife and cut all the trees, you know, poor, there will be ecological destruction will happen. You are not worthy to sit in the forest and meditate. For that, you need some spiritual evolution. You are at this moment a man of the world, just as for us, you know, we are at this moment so engrossed in our family. It's not easy suddenly to give up everything and say, I'm going to go to the forest and meditate. Not all of us can do that. So it is better to do what I can within my family, what is right and what is good. He says, so iha loke, in this world, in my opinion, it is better to become a beggar than to kill these noble souls. Why? He says, why? Why do you say that? He says, hatva. And why are we killing them? Artha kaman. I am killing them for wealth and for my sense pleasures. Gurun iha. Killing these gurus. I am killing them. Why? Just for wealth and for my sense pleasures. And even if I win, and even if I kill them, and I'm enjoying sitting in the palace, I've won the kingdom, I've killed my gurus, I've killed my noble people, and I am sitting and eating good food and drinking, you know, all the drinks and having nice time. But all my pleasures, bhunjiya bhogan, rudira pradigdan, whatever I enjoy, bhogas, rudira pradigdan, they will be covered with blood. Because it will be covered with the blood of my relatives and my ancestors and my near and dear ones. So how can I enjoy all this wealth? He has misunderstood the purpose of this battle. The purpose of this battle is not wealth, it's not sense pleasures. The purpose of this battle is establishment of dharma. That's what Krishna says. The reason I am with you is because you are on the side of the right. You are on the side of good. If you do not, then what will happen? Evil will prevail and evil will spread through society. Already for so many years, before the gambling, and the Pandavas and Kauravas had half the kingdom, half the Pandavas, half the Kauravas, the Pandavas kingdom was so prosperous because the rulers were good, they were honest, they were sincere, they were, you know, ruling it well. And people were encouraged to work hard and their kingdom was growing. And the Kaurava, because they were corrupt, they were dishonest. Obviously, when the ruler is corrupt, what the country will do? Country was so that half of the country was down. And Duryodhana was jealous. And that's why he cheated them and, you know, got the kingdom. And the whole kingdom has gone down in this absence of so many years. So you are not fighting just for kingdom or sense pleasures. You are fighting for dharma so that India may be more comfortable, more happy, more peaceful. So that is why you are fighting. So that is verse number 5. There is not much to discuss. We'll go to verse number 6, which has a little more discussion. So we'll talk about that. Na chaitad vidma katarano gariyaha. Yadva jayema yadivano jayeyuhu. Yane vahatvana jiji vishamaha. Devasthita pramukhe dhartarashtraha. So he says, I don't know. He doesn't say, I don't know. He says, we don't know. So he's putting all of them in part of that. All of us, we are all confused. He uses the word we instead of saying, I am confused. He says, we are confused. Na cha etad vidmaha. We don't know. This is using the plural. Not with, you know, vidyami, but vidmaha. We don't know what? Kataran. Naha gariha, which is better for us? Gariya means better for us. Katara means which is better? We don't know what is better for us. Yadva jayema, whether we should win, or yadi va no jayeyuhu, or they defeat us. I don't know which one is better, whether we defeat them or they defeat us. They are both equally bad because there's going to be wholesale destruction on both sides. And he says, yan eva hatva na jiji vishamaha. And killing these people, devasthita pramukhe dhartarashtraha. Dhartarashtra are the sons of Dhritarashtra, the Kauravas, who are Avasthita Pramukhe, who are standing in front of us. Pramukhe. Mukha means face. Pramukhe means they are facing us. Avasthita. They are stationed in their battle stations. They are already in battle formation, ready to fight. And killing them. Yaneva hatva na jiji vishamaha. We don't even wish to live. Life is not worth living after all this carnage, all this destruction, killing all our near and dear ones. Is it life worth even living? So what here we see is that he is not only confused, but he says our whole Pandava side is confused. We don't know. And what is his confusion? Why is he confused? It is said, Gurudev has, I think when I did the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita a few weeks back, we had talked about objective mind and subjective mind. So we have an objective mind which is indicated by M and subjective mind which is indicated by intellect. So intellect and the mind. Here it is split into two. Of course, our whole mind functions together. But for understanding, mind is the emotional component and the intellect is the thinking component. Now the mind, as we had talked, you might remember, is the lower clerk. I think I had mentioned that. Just as when the messages come, they come to the clerk or to the secretary and then he or she decides, you know, filters them and then presents them to the boss. And then the boss, because he has more experience, will then decide how the action should be taken. And then the action is given to the secretary or the clerk and then passed on to the various departments. So similarly, the sense organs, the eyes, ears, nose, skin, tongue, all of this, send all these messages which are collected by the mind. The mind is receiving all these impulses. And then like somebody is coming, then the message is coming. And then the intellect is presented. Okay, so and so person is coming. What should we do? Intellect knows, oh, this person, you know, he's a very dangerous person. Let me run away. Or he's a boring person. You know, let me not see him. Or he's a person I love. Let me go embrace him. So the intellect makes a decision. And these are, of course, people, but even other situations. You know, whether I, in situations at work or, you know, on my taxes, whether I should cheat or not cheat, whether I should hide or not hide, whether I should do the right thing or not. There are some doubts. So the mind cannot decide on its own. The mind presents all the data to the intellect and then the intellect gives the judgment based on past knowledge, based on what I have studied from my parents, from my values, from my teachers, from the scriptures. So based on all that, then the intellect is supposed to decide and give the right judgment. But suppose the mind doesn't listen to the intellect. It's like the receptionist or the secretary takes the message and acts on her own without consulting the boss, takes decision, okay, this will, then obviously the decision may or may not be right, you know, because you have to follow the chain of command. Or the boss gives an instruction and she passes on instruction wrongly and says, I'm not going to listen to what he said. I'm going to decide what happens. Then, you know, then the company won't function. So similarly, in our case, a lot of times we get data and the intellect says, we know what is right. We know what is right, what I should do, but the mind says, it's okay, you know, once in a while, everybody cheats on their taxes, it's okay for once in a while, or it's okay, I know I'm not supposed to eat sweets, it's okay, once in a while, you know, I know I'm diabetic, I know my blood sugar is, so, or I know I should not get angry, but then, you know, the situation came and I got so angry and I said, even though intellectually I know, but emotionally, I get carried away and do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing and I regret. So similarly here, Arjuna knows why he's here. It's not, he's not a fool. He knows why he's here. He was very intelligent. In fact, he was so educated. He had studied all the Vedas and the scriptures and the Upanishads. He had not only education of warfare, but he had knowledge of administration, how to run the country. Because Bhishma Pitama, his grandfather, was in charge of the education and he made sure Pandavas and Kauravas got a complete education. Not only how to be good kings, but how to be good human beings and out, you know, he had taught them the scriptures. When any great Mahatma or scholar came, he made sure that, you know, they kept them for a while in the palace and he taught them. So Arjuna knew what is right, but at this moment his mind is not listening to his intellect. Why? Because of ego. Because I am fighting this battle for my wealth, for my sense pleasures, and you are not. So that's what the ego came in here, the ego, the individual I and mine. And so the objective and the subjective mind, there is a dissociation. They are not working together, and that's called a yoga. What is yoga? Yoga, one is of course uniting with the Lord, but for an individual, a yogi means one whose mind and intellect are combined to join together. And they are not. At this moment, they are disintegrated. His whole mind is disintegrated. His intellect is confused. And what he needs is inner tuning. Just as, you know, when a radio or a car, you know, is not functioning well, you take it to a mechanic and he tunes it. He adjusts the... Now, I don't know if they still do that, but spark plugs and, you know, all those things, he tunes, or radios nobody has, but in the olden days, they used to change the inner valve and do the tuning. So similarly, he needs a tuning. And how is he disintegrated? Because there are three things: the mind, the speech, and the body. The mind is thinking one thing, the speech should say the same thing, what I'm thinking, and then my action should be the same. That is called integration. But here he is disintegrated, because even though he knows what is right, what he's saying is wrong, what he's doing is wrong, and how he is acting in these circumstances is totally wrong. And why? Because he has misunderstood the situation. He thinks, I am doing it. And Krishna says, it's not you. Ultimately, it is me who is working through you. That's what he... In the 11th chapter, he says, Maye nihatav purvameva nimitta matram bhava savya sachin. He says, all these people who you say you are going to kill, they're already dead. The time has already come, and in my eyes, they are already finished. In the next 18 days, their time is over. Whether you fight or if you don't fight, I'll find somebody else. I'll find Bhima, I'll find your son Abhimanyu, I'll find somebody else to do my work. So to think that I am doing it is the height of ego, and that is what Arjuna's problem is, and that's why he doesn't know what he is. And so the whole Bhagavad Gita is nothing but a tuning of his mind. Bhagavan Krishna does not want to change the circumstances. He says, I do not want to change the situation. I want to improve your inner tuning, and that is all the Bhagavad Gita is. And we all have to use that for our inner tuning to correct this disintegration or this lack of coordination between the mind and the intellect, so that what I think, what I speak, and what I do should all be one. And that is the message of this particular verse. Any questions or comments about these three verses, 4, 5, and 6?
Does such a good job explaining the thing Arjuna is thinking.
Right.
What he goes through, struggling with all this stuff. I wonder if someone else has done the same thing with the other side. And I mean, people like Drona and Bhishma, and they were grandfather and teacher of Arjuna. So how did they end up, how did their thinking end up being so wrong?
Right.
And there are plenty of people out in the world today who
yes.
are good people just like that.
See, there was this Kshatriya principle that if somebody has taken care of you and fed you, it is your duty to fight for him. So they had lived in Duryodhana's palace for more than 13, 15, 20 years. So, and he had, you know, fed them, taken care of them, and he means the Kaurava, you know, the kingdom. And Drona, even though he was a teacher, he was, you know, taken care of by them. Bhishma was. So They knew they were on the wrong side. They absolutely clearly knew that. In fact, Duryodhana at one time accuses Bhishma of not fighting strongly enough, you know, because he had a soft corner for the Pandavas. and so did Dronacharya, but they had no choice because they had already accepted the hospitality of these people, and so they had to fight on their behalf. And they knew they were on the wrong side. In fact, they tried to talk to Duryodhana many times, but he just would not listen. And in fact, they were at one time when Draupadi, when their wives' clothes were being taken off, all of these wise people were sitting in the court and nobody dared to challenge Duryodhana. So that was wrong. Yeah, that was absolutely wrong. Cowards, or they were either, partly they were cowards and partly they felt obligated to this individual who was a crook. Once I have taken eaten his salt, that was the exact words, then I'm obligated to defend that person, whether he's right or wrong, both. Yeah, no, absolutely. That's why the Gurudev says they had absolutely no doubt in their mind. They had no question where they were going. And they said, if Arjuna comes, I will kill him in front of me. They were very clear. They had absolutely. Why? Because that's my duty. Whether it's right or wrong, but this is at this moment how they had misunderstood, you know, because of. But yeah, they were absolutely clear. In fact, one of Arjuna's uncle, I told that story a few weeks back, was coming to join the Pandava side, and Duryodhana played a dirty trick on him. He was traveling for several days, and Duryodhana made sure they had beautiful tents to stay and food to eat and place for the horses and food for the whole army was entertained for 3-4 days as they were coming. Now this uncle thought that it is the Pandavas who have made all these arrangements for me, you know, because my nephew, he was the uncle of the Pandavas. And so after 3-4 days, when he finally said, who made all these arrangements? Duryodhana said, I did. So because he had eaten his salt for 3-4 days, he fights on the Kaurava side, even though he was the uncle of the Pandavas. So that was the chivalry, or whatever you want to call it, the rule of the land at that time.
That was part of the Dharma too, right?
Yes, duty. Exactly. Okay. Right. Even though it was wrong, but this was you had to do it. So yeah, and this was only 3-4 days. It's not even 15-20 years. And he fights the whole battle on the side of the Kauravas, and he shoots at his nephews, and he does everything that is required. His whole army, in fact. Yeah. Yes.
You know how they said that Pandavas, they have to go to Agyatvas one year to hide themselves. Why is that? What the Kauravas will get out of
it? No, that was a condition that they have to do that. And if in that 1 year they are found, then they have to go again 12 years and in forest and 1 year hide.
Repeat it again.
If they are detected and they had spies who were searching, because to hide 5 men and a woman who are such prominent people, you know, well-built and healthy and strong and you know, royal-looking people, to hide them is not easy. And they said, we have to find them. If they find them, then another 13 years. And Draupadi was a maid. She had becomes a maid. So all of them in one palace, they take up different jobs and different. And palace is huge, you know, the kingdom is huge. So it was easy for them to hide. But yeah, that was the condition of that. Yes. Okay, so we'll end today. The next verse is also very, very beautiful. It's Arjuna's surrender. How Arjuna surrenders to the guru, and what is the role of guru and Shishya, the student and the teacher, is very well given in Gurudev's commentary. Please read it, and then we'll expand on that. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Namah. Hari Om.